North Rock Podcast.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Hey, it's good to be back with you guys. I was gone, preached the Christmas Eve service, and then Jody and I traveled to New Mexico to see her parents over the New Year's. And I don't know if any of you guys saw that storm that came through New Mexico, but let me tell you, her family lives, if you took the county road all the way out to where they stopped taking care of it, maintaining it, then you pull into their property, okay, and then you drive about 3/4 of a mile up into their property, and in one night, they got about 4 foot of snow, and then the drifts were about 5.5 feet, so your pastor spent most of his New Year's Christmas break time pumping up the old shoulders and arms here. I swear that I must have shoveled about 26 feet of snow in a 24-hour period. It was great to be with the family, but I'm always glad to get back home to you guys. Really missed you last week, and I'm just really thankful for both the word that Pastor Tom brought to us and Andrew as he kicked off this Rooted series. And today, I'm just happy to be back today in this series, Rooted, which we're really excited about. Not just because it's a nice title for a series, right? But the idea of being rooted is found throughout the scriptures. And for us, we're using it as a congregation as we're entering into the new year where we're really saying, God, we're pursuing you in 2016. Is anybody with me today? That we are giving you our very best because we know you gave us your very best. And many of us in this community are fasting and praying and contending with God for breakthrough in all kinds of different areas of our lives and this church's life. That this idea of being rooted is what we're using as a metaphor for what it means to be a disciple here at North Rock. I don't know about you, but the things that I do in my walk with Christ usually stems from an understanding of what his word says about what he wants to do in my life, right? Well, that's really what this is all about. That's why we come together. That's why we learn the word of God. But how many of you would agree with me today that if it only lives here, that we're missing something in the discipleship formula, right? That the word of God is intended to enter into us, that we would know it, so that it would transform us by the power of God's Holy Spirit and find its way out into our lives, right? That its head, its heart, and its hands that really makes a disciple, which really makes a rooted person in Christ rooted, right? So it's like the picture of the tree. A tree blooms, it blossoms, it grows all the branches, all the leaves, everything that it needs, not because of the things that's happening on the outside, but the things that are happening underneath the soil. The roots are grounded down, they're getting the nutrients that they need, and much that same way, this series is about being rooted in Christ. Let me give you just a couple of quick promises that come from God's word about this idea of being rooted. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up quickly. I'm just going to hit these real fast. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 of the New Living Translation says, "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth of what you were taught." And listen to this, you will overflow with thankfulness. Isn't that a good promise this morning, church, for the new year? One that I like to tie into it too because it's really what we're talking about today. It's how is it that God's word intends to work in my emotions, how he intends to work in my heart to transform me into all that he has called me to be. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says it this way. It says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, and your roots will grow down into God's love, and it will keep you strong." So I'd like to suggest this morning that the reason we're talking about being rooted is because it has everything to do with the transformative purpose of God's work in our lives. You guys remember that Jesus talked about this idea of being rooted in the parable of the soils. You guys remember that story where the seed was scattered all in all kinds of different soils of their lives? And in Luke chapter 8, or excuse me, yeah, in Luke chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, it talked about the idea that the seed that fell in rocky soil never developed a deep root system. You guys remember that? And you guys remember what happened because it didn't have that deep root system? It said that because it didn't have deep roots, that when temptation came in, people would fall away from their faith. It goes on to say that the seeds that fell on the thorns represent those who heard the message, and they quickly received it, but it was crowded out by the riches and the cares and the pleasures of this world, and it says that they never grew into maturity. So today, I would like for us to take a look at what it means to have a rooted heart. Is that all right? Is that a good thing to do with our time today? I know for us guys in the crowd, maybe it's a little less comfortable talking about our emotions and feelings. I'm not really that touchy-feely kind of a guy either, so please bear with me. I promise you it'll be worth our time and it'll be worth looking at from the scriptures today. Because everything that goes on in our hearts finds its way to the surface of our lives, right? Just like the nutrients in that tree find its way out of the soil to birth and do what it is it's supposed to do in the organism that it's rooted in, we are this built the same way. That is, we're rooted into Christ, that his life is to be born up in and through us. But I can also tell you as a pastor and as a person who's followed Christ for over 20 years of my life, that there's all kinds of other stuff that goes on inside of me every day. These things that they call emotions, right? That may or may not align with what we know God's word is to said about who we are in Christ. Does that make sense this morning? Jesus said it this way in making the point that the things that are inside of us will somehow manifest itself in our lives. Said Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says, a good person produces good things out of the good treasury of his good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart, right? In Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 16, and then 20 through 23, again, he takes the same kind of line of reasoning. He says, and again, Jesus called the crowd to him, and he said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside of a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. He went on, saying, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of the man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And all of these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So here's what I'd like to say about that laundry list there. That if you identify with any of those things as being something that conflicts in our hearts with what we know it is that God has designed us and has guaranteed that we would live in him, welcome to the human race. That we all wrestle with these things on some level to some degree. We all wrestle with a mess that is a person's psyche and a person's emotions and a person's internal life. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we gather here today, reminded that Jesus has done all we need him to do to set us free, right? We know that, we believe that, we trust that. But we also want to be a people that are honest enough, that are transparent enough to say that sometimes there are thoughts, there are emotions, there are feelings in my own heart and life that don't align with what we know God's word says his best plan for my life is. Amen? So, what are we supposed to do with all this baggage? All this stuff that we drag in. I mean, I'm telling you, when I came into my relationship with the Lord over 20 years ago, it wasn't carrying baggages of stuff. I mean, I had like a dump load truck of stuff. Right? I like showed up, all right, Lord, good luck. We'll see what you can do with this one, right? That's kind of the situation that I came into. But what if I told you this morning that I have a video that I could show you that within 5 minutes or less, we could deal with all of the baggage, all the junk, all the troubles in our lives, all those feelings that are contradictory to God's word. What do you guys think? Would it be worth watching that video? All right, let's throw up that video. I'm going to quit talking. We're going to show you a video that's going to get you free. Watch this.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Being buried alive in a box.
Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. Just have a seat and tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
All right. Well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're there.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes. S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No, no, no. We don't go there. Just stop it.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go.
Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it!
What are you, nut of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it!
You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words.
Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
So to conclude my message today, I've got two words for y'all. You might get out a pen and paper, right? And I show that story, one, because I think it represents sometimes how I feel as the pastor of this church sometimes in what we can actually get done from the stage on just a Sunday gathering. Is that sometimes we hear the word, we amen the word, and then we send everybody back out, right? I, above all things, know that God is a God who heals, that God is a God who delivers, God is a God who transforms our lives day in and day out throughout the course of our lives. But I also know that there are areas of our lives that take a little bit more time as he tarries and works and deals with some of the stuff that we drag into our relationship with him. We all carry a spiritual background with us. We all carry a family of origin and both the good and the bad that comes with that into it. We all have an emotional kind of imprint that comes with us when we come into this relationship with God. And if we neglect the arduous work of monitoring what's going on in our hearts, inside of each of us, we can miss what Jesus is teaching in what we just saw. And this is what I'm trying to say today is that we may never completely during our time here eliminate all of those things, the stuff that goes on in our lives, but they don't need to control our lives anymore. They don't need to contaminate the climate of our heart, right? That Jesus has come, he has made his power available, he's given us his word, and that it's the discipleship process. It's really the act of being rooted that we take that stuff out and go, okay, Lord, I trust you with this. Would you heal it? Would you show me what to do with this? Would you show me how to align my thoughts, my actions, and my attitudes to be those that are yours? So the reason we talk about this is because our hearts impact everything that we do, our business, our family, our very lives. And so my question first today, as we wrestle with this idea of how do we have rooted hearts, is how's your heart today? As you come in here this morning, what's going on with your heart? What's going on underneath the surface of your life? You know, a guy named Peter Scazzaro is a key author, and he's a pastor that's been a key and part of my being delivered and walking through a lot of emotional hurts and pains that I carried in from my broken life before I had met the Lord. And he wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Anybody ever seen or heard or read of that one? Yeah, quite a few of us, because it's almost as popular as The Purpose-Driven Life. But he used a metaphor that really got my attention at one point, and that was the picture of an iceberg. And, you know, when I look at an iceberg, I think about, wow, what a huge piece of ice that's floating in the ocean. Right? And the point that he made was, no matter what the mass is, it's above the surface, in that over 90% of that iceberg resides below the waterline. And his point, his entire position of his ministry was simply this, that one cannot become spiritually mature without also becoming emotionally healthy. That without the emotional health component, we got a lot of people who can walk around and quote scriptures and think about scriptures, but their lives don't align to what the scriptures teach for their lives, right? Solomon wrote it this way. He said, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So how does a rooted disciple of Christ, how does a rooted person in Jesus deal with the stuff that we discover when we pop the hood and we get under the hood and look at our lives? What do we do to deal with what we discover in our emotional lives? I'd like to suggest four spiritual disciplines that have helped me along the way as I continue to discover and allow the Lord to work at and through in my own life. Four things. One, we need to be able to dig it up. We need to be able to dig up what we find. Developing an awareness of what I feel and what I'm doing. Second thing we need to do is we need to dust it off. And I just dig it up, right? Because it doesn't do us any good to just dig it up and go, I'm putting that thing back, right? Things going back, I'm going to stuff that way down there, right? We don't do that, right? We need to dust it off. We need to ask the why or the what's going on question in our lives. Third thing that's helpful for us is we make the commitment to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to transform our very emotional lives, to be rooted in our emotions, as we need to deal with it. We need to link the gospel, the promises of God's Word, and our emotional health. That everything that He wants to do in us is the same blessing that He wants to do through us and in our external worlds. And the fourth thing we need to do is we need to dispose of it. We need to get rid of some of the stuff that we carry into this relationship and rid ourselves of. In two ways I think about that. One, we need to get rid of the actual acts and the things that we know that are contrary to what God's Word is wanting to do in us, that are contrary to the love and the grace and the mercy that we know He's already given to us. And on the other end, rid ourselves of the glittering image of the Christian person. Right? The it's smiling, it's happy, everything's good all the time. No, it's not. We need to dispose of that myth, right? So let's talk about dig it up just for a few moments. Developing an awareness of what I am feeling and doing. The psychiatrist R.D. Lang, which isn't the same person I found out last night as Katie Lang, the singer, once wrote, The range of what we think and do is limited by what we fail to notice. And because we fail to notice that we fail to notice, there's little that we can do to change until we notice how failing to notice shapes our thoughts and deeds. You know, I've got a couple of cousins on Jody's side of the family, Joe and Teresa, who live in California. And about, I think it's probably been about 7 years ago now, they developed a fungus in their backyard. They had this beautiful garden. I mean, orange trees, lemon trees, all kinds of beautiful flowers that were going on above the surface. But they had a visitor called Perea incrustata. Anybody ever heard of that? It's basically water conducting fungus that basically draws the water out of what's in the ground and inserts it into whatever it's attached to. And so they had this beautiful garden above the ground, but they began to see this fungus that was growing on the side of their house. And basically what had ended up happening over a course of several years of them not knowing that that was beneath the surface of their house is that it was sucking all the water when California actually used to have water and rain in their climate, right? And it was putting it into the foundations of their house, into the walls of their house, and it basically eroded their entire, about a quarter of their house that they had to get replaced and built up and all those things. And the reason I share that story is because that's what I hear Jesus saying in his message to us about the good operate out of the good in our heart and the evil out of the evil in our heart, that if we allow things to just fester underneath the surface, that we end up with sicknesses that he never intends us to bear or to walk around with, right? So we need to be a people that dig it up, that we would be committed, that we'd be courageous enough to keep a regular inventory of the emotions and the things that are going on in our life. And then we need to do something with it. We need to dust it off. We need to ask the why or the what's going on question in our lives. Because digging it up and dusting it off requires painful honesty that initially both myself and I'm sure many of us here today would rather avoid or ignore or deny or really stuff deep down into our consciences. But everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we experience springs from our hearts. We live from the heart. We love from the heart. And without us keeping that place safe, we miss out on a lot of what could be happening. So it's like little shards of glass. Anybody ever been in a car accident where you've gotten glass embedded in your skin or had some glass? It finds its way to the surface eventually, right? That like little shards of glass can get wedged deep down into our emotional lives that will eventually surface in some form of a crisis or a season of pain. We all bring into this relationship with Jesus personal, familiar, spiritual set of circumstances, the baggage that I'm alluding to. And so instead of us denying it, hiding it, and not addressing our weaknesses or our hurts or our wounds or our fears, people are to recognize them and to share them. And this is where the pastor goes way off the ledge, that we would even learn to glory in them, that we would remember. Like the Apostle Paul had such a great grasp on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, he's talking about something that he had tried to pray out in his life, right? You guys remember that? He talked about it as a thorn in his flesh that a messenger of Satan had tormented him with. And it said that three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him, but the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about the weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me." That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that good news this morning, church? And here's my conviction. Here's what I think about that passage. It's simply this, that we will only travel through the murky emotional waters of our lives to the degree and to the depth that we recognize that Christ's power is resting upon us. So we have to do the first two parts, right? We have to be willing to dig it up. We have to be willing to dust it off. But the good news of the gospel is that when we're making the decision to live beneath the surface, we get the opportunity to sow the good and to throw the bad, right? That it's not our power that deals with those things. It's our power that brings them to the one who has the power to deal with it. So that's the third point, is we just need to deal with it. We need to find a way to link the gospel with our emotional health. And if you'd like a tool that's helpful with that, there's a website out there for a free assessment. It's called emotionallyhealthy.org. And it basically asks you a variety of questions about your life, and it gives you kind of an idea of, hey, this is where you're at on the map right now. But I will give you a word of warning before you go to that website. You got to put your big girl and your big boy pants on, okay? Because basically they categorize it into four basic categories. And I've been working my way up that range of dealing with some of the emotional challenges in my own life, but I'm still not an emotional adult. I don't know. I'm 42. I should be there by now, but I'm not. But what I can tell you is that through my becoming aware of those things and beginning to manage those things in my life, I see a more symbiotic relationship, a more connected relationship with what God's word says and what I experience. Does that make sense? So in other words, this idea of combining our emotional health with contemplative spirituality kind of ties two things together. On the emotional side, it ties identifying, using, and understanding and managing our feelings. Breaking free from destructive patterns and becoming aware of how our past impacts our present. And then on the spiritual side, this is the part of dealing with that we've got to have. We've got to be willing to go there emotionally. But then we have to also rest in God's love, learning to hear God's voice and resting in his presence to deal with what we find, what we discover, so we can sow the good or throw the bad in our lives. I love that this church has had Celebrate Recovery here as a staple of our ministry for the past 10 years. They meet here on Friday nights at 6:30, and it's a great place to come if you find some of those hurts, habits, and hang-ups in our lives that we may not know how to get through on our own. But here's the other thing that I would say. If what you discover beneath the surface, or what you know already resides beneath the surface in our lives, needs help beyond what we can give you as a church in just community of what God's doing in our lives, or what we can offer through Sober Recovery, my encouragement, my exhortation is get the professional help that you need. When it comes to our mental health, when it comes to our emotional lives, it's just as important as our physical health. In fact, I would go so far to say it's even more important. So what I'm saying from the pulpit, my official stance is that there is no shame in seeing a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a counselor to work through whatever it is that might be keeping you from experiencing the fullness of what God's purpose is for your life. He's the one that deals with it. It's his power. It's his grace. It's his mercy. It's his love that allows us to have the courage to walk through the things that we'll find when we look into our lives. So I'm those kind of pastors that says, pray, believe God, know that he can heal, transform, do a miracle in your life in just one moment. I know, I've seen it, I've experienced it myself multiple times. But also know there are other things in our lives that he's discipling us through, that he's reminding us that I am your strength when you are weak, that I am the one who brings healing in the midst of your pain, that I am the one who brings hope in the midst of despair, right? That's the God we serve. That's the reason that we're here. That's why we can afford to deal with these kind of things in our lives. And the good news of the gospel is we have that hope for this season, that while we may still have pain, while we may still have sorrow, there will be a day when he returns and we will no longer have to deal with those situations, right? That's part of the hope, is we need to be able to see my present, my past, but keep an eye on the future, remembering that God's promises over us are yes and amen, and they will come to pass in and through our lives, here and through into eternity. So the last thing we're going to talk about is that after we've dug it up, after we've dusted it off, after we've dealt with it, we need to dispose of it. We need to quit attaching what we believe about ourselves and about the people in our lives to a season of our past before God transforms something in our lives. Does that make sense? That we need to transfer to part with or to get rid of. We need to take action after processing these things. And we need to rid ourselves of the pain and sickness that we carry around and the effects that they are having on us. Can I just say it this way? That I know that God is a healer. I don't know when he's going to heal, but I know he's a healer. I know God's a redeemer. I just don't know when and how he's going to redeem things, right? So one of the things that I observe in church culture is that we can have faith for a period of time to pray for something. And if we don't see the results within the time frame that we've established, we can get a little disheartened. We can get a little discouraged. We can get a little frustrated. Am I talking to anybody today? Hey, so listen, I'm the pastor. I pray things all the time. And I keep going, okay, Lord, today's a good day. Right? Today's a really good day for that to come forth and to, right? That is what discipleship is. That's what we're talking about being rooted, is that as Christ leads us out, we have the courage to deal with all of the mess, the yuck, the storms that come in our lives, knowing that he is good, he is faithful, and he is trustworthy, and that we can discard the things in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can let those things go. But I also know that as I say that today, that we've got many amongst us that have physical ailments, emotional challenges, and difficulties. Can I just say, we want to partner with you as a community. We believe that God's power is released not just through the preaching of his word, but by the idea of us doing fellowship together, by praying for one another, contending for one another, and seeing God day by day bring healing and hope into people's lives. We want to be a part of all that. And so my encouragement in 2016 is, let's not lay aside God's promises because we become discouraged, but let's contend all of them that much more for the fulfillment of his word in our lives. Amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 18, I'm going to ask our worship team to come up as is our culture here. We're going to respond to what the word challenged us in today by taking some time to pay attention to our heart. And so I pose that question again. How's your heart this morning? Is it hurried? Is it fearful? Is it worried? Is it at peace in Christ? If it is, praise God, good. I know not everybody struggles at the same time with the same types of things, but what I do know is that we're able to sort through the treasures and the trash that abide below the surface of our lives, below the observable parts of our lives, when we remember the promise of God. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 through 18, I'm going to leave this with you, and I'm going to ask you to take a few moments as the worship team plays. I want you to just take some time and dig up whatever it is that's there, to dust it off. To just bring it before the Lord in prayer and say, God, would you do a work in this in 2016? 2 Corinthians 3, 16 and 18 through 18 says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Church, the encouragement today is as we make our commitment to be rooted disciples of Christ, that there is ever-increasing power available for the transformation of our lives. Amen? Amen. So whatever it is that God's dealing with you about today, would you bring it before him? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you that we are not the same people that we were when we first met you. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you are active and alive in our midst. And Lord, we trust you with our very lives. Lord, help us to be a people who practice the discipline in 2016 of paying attention to our emotional lives, of paying attention to the things that don't align to what we know is true about your character and your word and your will for our life. And in Jesus' name, we pray that you would reveal that today and that you would heal it. Amen and amen. Father, as we stand before you today, we confess with our lips and believe in our heart that you have made us whole in Jesus. Lord, we thank you that that is the truth. That is the rock. That is the word of God. That's who we are. That is our identity. But Lord, we also thank you that you make us brave to wrestle with and to struggle through unto the victory that you promised, the areas of our lives that we may still have challenges in. And so, Lord, I pray that in 2016, North Rock will be known as a people who are willing to dig up, to dust off, to deal with, and to discard the things in our life that keep us back, that keep us from walking in the fullness of who you are and what you want to do through us as a congregation in this world for such a time as this. Lord, I pray over our people today in Jesus' mighty and powerful name, physical, emotional, spiritual healing. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to them, even in these moments that we rest and we wait upon your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak hope and healing into the areas where they sense despair and fear and worry. Father, we thank you that you are a good God, God, and that you have our best interest at heart, and that we can trust you with all things that are visible in our lives and that are invisible in our lives. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I need God's touch in an area of my life today. Would you just raise your hand by doing, just acknowledge and say, God is ministering to my heart, but there's something in here that's not aligning, and I want him to do a great work in me. Yeah, a whole bunch of us this morning. I'm raising two of them, you guys. There's so much still that God is working through and sorting and putting in order in my life, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that that is how you do your work amongst us. Lord, for those that in faith have raised their hands, Lord, I pray that you would touch them miraculously by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we claim wholeness, fulfillment of whatever it is that they're bringing before you. And maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I don't know of this hope. I don't know of this strength. I don't know of this new life that you're talking about through Jesus Christ. Today, as I stand here today, I can't say for sure that I have this relationship with Christ. If that's you here today, we're going to invite you to pray a prayer with us and alongside of us that we pray every week here at North Rock, knowing that it really is the reminder of who we are in him. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts that he is Lord, that he was put on the cross to take away our sin and rose from the grave 3 days later, that we are saved, that we are healed, that we are whole. We're going to pray that prayer. Let's pray it, whether it's our 50th time or our first time, like it's our first time. Let me hear you, church. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself learning scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we give the Lord a clap offering if he's doing something in your life? God, we thank you. You are faithful, you are good, and you are worthy of our praises.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.